service of God comes to us loud and clear from the two scripture readings which you just read this morning. The gospel also speaks to us of humble and the sacrificial response of the rising of age when they saw the star in the east and left in that long, long journey from the area of southern Mesopotamia to pay their humble but precious homage to the newborn king of Bethlehem. Behind this text lies another that takes us back into the second millennium BC, when the prophecy of the star rising from Jacob, God's covenant people, was first uttered. It is found in Numbers 24, beginning at verse 15. Then Balaam uttered his oracle, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eyes see clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and his eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. If thou wilt come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Seth. Edom will be conquered. Fear his enemies will be conquered. But Israel will grow strong, and ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. Balaam was a celebrated and still practitioner of the black art. Or to say it in another way, he was a Mesopotamian diviner living in the area of the upper Euphrates River. His fame has spread far and wide. Down in the south was Balak, king of Moab, and he was in dire straits. What could he, the king of that tiny nation, do to protect himself against the forces of Israel? Had not this army destroyed the force of King Sihon, who knew the area to the north of Moab, much larger than the country of Moab, and who had crushed the mighty forces of Proud King Og of Bashan. And Balak had a face of nagging question, what would he do to protect himself and his people against the sinister force of Israel? See, Balaam's decision was to speak to the occult powers of this celebrated man Balaam to place the curse of the gods on Israel. He sent a delegation to invite Balaam to come and promise a handsome reward for his services. But as our text tells us in Numbers 24, God intervened, and Balaam did not accept the invitation. But the danger was still there, which Balak thought he had a face. He so sent a second delegation with the promise of a far richer reward for Israel's wonder. And this time, in case notice, he was the pagan Balaam, pleaded with God for the purpose of gold. He recognized God as his deep superior power and his pleaded for permission to go. And God warned him that he could go, that he could speak only that which he, God, would permit him to speak. And Balaam went, and the story is most interesting when you look at it in the words of Numbers 24. Basically, the desire for self-service and for earthly gain was too strong for Balaam to resist. As we read the record in Numbers 24, we find that at three different places, at three different times, Balaam was asked to put a curse on Israel with people and its military forces. And three times, each time he could only speak words of blessing, much to the utter dismay of King Balak. In his anger and frustration, Balak ordered Balaam to go back home again. It was at this juncture that Balaam spoke the fourth word of blessing which he just heard. Although dedicated to using his occult skills for his own personal benefit, his praise and his treasury, Balaam was used by God as his instrument to speak a blessing on his troubled people. And this word of Balaam was culminated in the greatest of all blessings, namely in the coming of God's Son to the world, in the event of which the gospel lesson spoke this morning. As John could beautifully demonstrate in his gospel account, the Son came to serve as a faithful, obedient, not self-seeking servant of the Father. And in so doing, he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of which the prophecy of David speaks so beautifully in its poetry. In the epistle lesson of today, Paul so beautifully speaks in very eloquent language of Jesus' obedient, selfless, self-giving, faithful service in his role as the servant of the Father. Before this morning, Paul speaks to us, as he spoke to the Christians of Philippi long ago, when he says in the epistle lesson of today, in the first 4 verses, "Now that you are encouraged in Christ, move that comforting word of love. If you and we have the same spirit, if you and I are tender and sympathetic, make me very happy. Be one in thought and in love. Live in harmony. Keep one purpose in mind. Don't be selfish or proud, but humbly treat others as better than yourself. Each of you be interested not only in your own things, but also in those of others. Think as Jesus Christ does." We pray that through the power of God's Spirit, that these words of the Apostle Paul will work mightily in your and my heart,